Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London Edition. Please, everybody who wishes to listen to us live, tune in live to LA Talk Radio every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And of course, whoever wants to see us, please go to Accent on Facebook, and just you can see us. You can go to Ilona Europa, you can see go to Accent On. We are there with our interviews. So I think it's very hard today to be happy, to be smiling, even when I see face of my dear friend. And I know people will recognize you. 1 month ago, I had you on my show as my guest, and we were talking about COVID, which COVID hit all your family. And Teresa Pirozzi, you are my guest. And I'm sure lots of people who are watching and listening to our show, they wanted to know what really happened to your parents, to your family, because like I mentioned, in December, end of December, both of your parents were in a hospital, and you were mentioning that you had a dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, with only small group of the closest people in family, I think six people or seven people, were allowed to join all of you for the dinner. Parents were just wonderfully happy and healthy. Everybody was happy. There was Thanksgiving. And then horrible things were happening day by day. So please, if you can, a little rewind this time in a so scary way. Our show was on the end of December, like I mentioned. So it's not even 1.5 months, 2 months when your parents were with us. I'm sure people are guessing that today is this very sad day. You lost both of your parents to this horrible, horrible, horrible virus, horrible virus. So, but I think everybody really wants to be with you and your family in this time. People want to know what's happened to us. This is sickness that practically touches everybody. Everybody, we are scared of it. We are trying to hide from it. We are hoping with vaccination that things are looking better for all of us. We are scared for our children who are not going to schools. We don't have life. We don't. Even when we are living life and we are doing the best as we can, that's not the life that we want to have it. But as everybody's problem, COVID is everybody's problem. So we need to unite. We need to do what is right for all of us. Hiding, sitting at home, not leaving houses, doing the minimum outside, the most that we can, just not complaining too much because we are here alive. And your parents are not here with us. So, Teresa, please tell us again how all of that happened so fast, because I know your parents are living few miles, not 2 miles, 3 miles away from you. So I know you were there every day. Your parents are amazing, but I want to hear, and people want to hear everything from your mouth to our souls, to our hearts. And again, Teresa, we love you so much. You are a dearest friend of ours and my daughter's and my beautiful doggy. I will never forget you, that you took care of my dog when I was moving abroad to London, and my dog was so sick. It was supposed to be only 2 weeks staying or 3 weeks staying. Turned out to be 4 months of long staying, and you were the mama for my doggy, and you were You are just an amazing human being. And of course, you know, you're a wonderful person. You are working. You are very, very intelligent human being. You know, you are working at court. Could you tell us a little bit about that, maybe? What are you doing on a daily basis?
Well, I'm a judicial assistant, which is basically a court clerk. And we assist the judge with the daily record. And my position, most people can relate to, is I'm the one who swears you in to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. So we hear testimony and take evidence, and I've been doing that for about 25 years now. So it's been a great career for me, and I have to say, I would not have that career if it wasn't for my mother. Oh. She cut a little article out of the local tiny newspaper that was looking for a clerk at an entry-level position, and she handed it to me. And because she found that, I have my career for 25 years.
Thank you. Thank you to your mommy. Could you tell us your mommy's name and your daddy's name?
Sure. My mom is Shirley Perazzi, and my dad is Jerry Perazzi.
Sounds Italian to
my mind. Dad's Italian, and my mother's Irish. Her maiden name was Saunderson, so she's a nice Irish girl.
I can't believe, you know, we were talking about your love for Italian cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And I cannot imagine how beautiful traditional dinners you all were having. Not only Thanksgiving is obvious American holiday, but I'm sure you were mixing everything. And you had very wonderful, close family, yes? Can you tell us about your upbringing? And obvious, we would love to hear the story behind the love of your parents, because we know in this crazy our life time, everybody's getting married, everybody dreams about the love, everlasting love, and not all of us are lucky enough to spend so many years with each other. My parents also were more than 50 years together. And they were very, very, very happy all of these years. My mama was 16 years old. Daddy was 18 years old when they got married after World War II. So my sister came out. My mama was, I think, 17 years old when she had my
sister. Young.
Then 18 when she had me. And like I said, I had amazing parents. Like you mentioned, your career, your mama gave you a path. Just because she was looking for you, always. The same my mother. My mother loved to sing, loved music. Her family was very musical. So that's all what I remember, my mother singing, daddy singing. So naturally, I wanted to be, you know, loud, and I love to sing. So she was taking me to music school. Like amazing parents, what I'm saying. Amazing parents. Like right now, all of these parents who are taking care of the children at home. Because children are not going to school. So I can't even imagine to be working and taking care of children and just being hiding and being afraid of letting children go out and have the childhood that I remember, you remember. It's not like that anymore for more than a year already. So can you tell me a little bit about your family life? You were born here, yes?
I was born in Hollywood. Yes, Hollywood, California. Okay. My parents were both living in Hollywood. My dad grew up in Hollywood, and my mom moved out from Detroit to Hollywood when she was 18 years old. And I was born out in Hollywood, and they met. My dad was a parking lot attendant at the Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood, and my mom was a secretary, and she was in the next building, and they met, I think she was probably walking across the parking lot to go pick up lunch or something, and that's how it all started. They were married for 57 years, and they moved out of the city in 1967. They had already had two of their three children, me and my sister, and that's where they stayed until the end of their life, out here in Oak Park, California.
So many people must know them and enjoy them. we need to tell a little bit about Oak Park. Oak Park is a very special place, and the place Anagura, the little Westlake village, a very, very special place in Los Angeles, and very peaceful, great schools. People don't want to move out of this place. So I no wonder that your parents love this arena. It was beautiful, especially for children to grow up. So safe, so wonderfully, yeah. And very great. And I know you were going to high school and all schools in this, also in Oak Park?
Yeah, well, I went to Agora High, which was right down the road, because they hadn't settled all the schools out yet. There were barely any streets here when they moved in. Yeah. It was just a tiny 5-street community. But my siblings went to, school in Oak Park District, and it's grown since then, but not too big. So my dad, up until his dying day, he felt like he was the luckiest person in the world to live out here. He would walk out his front door and he'd see the mountains surrounding and his neighbors saying hi up and down the street, and he felt like he was the luckiest man alive. And it wasn't a big fancy house. It was just a home.
Yeah, home. That's all what we need. Place called home. Doesn't matter big or small, the tiniest. But if you say, if you are in a place that you love to be and you feel like you are the luckiest one, means that you are happy. And you were very happy. They really loved each other so much. Yes. And you said 57 years together. So, Mama, how old was Mama when Mama died?
85 as well.
85, and dead, or both of them were
85. Yeah.
So, this crazy time with coronavirus, I'm sure they were hiding also. They were trying to protect themselves. You mentioned that your mama wasn't really feeling very, very well. She had a wheelchair, yes? She had a walker. But outside of that, she was beautiful. I will be posting pictures, of course, your parents, and you post some beautiful pictures of them. They celebrated life. Yes. So today, of course, I think this is a tribute to amazing couple, amazing, wonderful parents. And even when story is so sad and has no wonderful ending and good ending, we all hoped that your parents will make it, but they didn't. Both of them in the same day died. So it's just a very, very scary, very scary.
Yes.
It's a situation. Very scary, because none of you, not you, not your, not doctors, nobody can really help in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm in London, so we will be both talking a little bit how different is here and in Los Angeles. But fact is that for some people, doctors cannot help. Some people, and we'll be talking about that too, because you had a COVID in the same time, a little bit later with your daughter. Mm-hmm. So somehow, somewhere, some people are the lucky one.
Yes, it's hard. I'm actually finding myself second guessing myself about the way I handled them when they initially got COVID. I keep asking myself, should I have taken them to the hospital sooner? Especially my dad. We tried to keep him home and out of the hospital, but 5 days and he already had pneumonia by the time I got him in the ambulance.
How did you know that he had pneumonia?
When he got to the hospital, they diagnosed it.
Okay. But did you, because we were talking, this was Thanksgiving, and a few days, 5 days later, you start having symptoms. Mama didn't have symptoms right away, even with daddy. So how this developed? What did you see?
I was taking his temperature every couple of hours. I was giving him over-the-counter medicine. He had a small cough, and this was under the supervision of his doctor.
Okay.
I wasn't just going on my own.
Yeah.
His doctor is the one who said, we really don't want him to go to the hospital. We can avoid it. And I was measuring his blood oxygen level with an oximeter. And once it started going lower and lower, his oxygen should have been at 95%, and it got down to 88 or 85. The doctor finally said, you have to take him in. There's not enough oxygen.
So with his fever, did he have strong high fever, or he was just almost okay? Like
maybe made it to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And it never got high.
So you said also the cough wasn't so bad that you were scared, you know, my gosh, this is serious. So oxygen level, which not everybody's checking on that, because a lot of people just walking with COVID, we don't know if we have it or not, you know, yeah. We have and little aches and pains and little runny nose and scratchy throat, because it's like here, especially it's ugly weather all the time right now. So who knows what we have, but everybody has the symptoms from time to time, you know.
Yes. And my oxygen level during my COVID experience never went low, ever. Never, ever. But I think the elderly are very susceptible to what they call the COVID pneumonia. And once they have that, it is very hard to treat and get rid of. And that's what happened to my parents.
Both of them the same.
My mom went into the hospital on the 15th of December, and she was in the ICU by the 17th. And then she was diagnosed with pneumonia as well. And they just can't, it attacks the lungs so badly that there's nothing they can do. There's no antibiotic. They tried all the treatments on both my parents, but maybe had they gotten them earlier, it would have worked, but I don't know. I'll never know.
Nobody knows that. You're right. It's like impossible to think, because if we were thinking this way like you, so all of these hundreds of thousands of people who died, maybe they could live, or maybe they wouldn't. But fact
but
is,
you don't.
You cannot think this way. And like say 5 days from the moment when you start feeling not so good, seems like not bad. Long period,
right.
Say, and especially with your mommy, you both, your parents, you separate them. They were in a separate room, and you were there with gloves and all masks, and you know, you were just taking care of them in another separate room. You were doing everything that you could, and in a way, you couldn't do better for yourself, and you got it too.
Yes, my hands were cracked and bleeding from so much sanitizer and hand washing. During the time that I wasn't being relaxed in the protocols at all. But yeah, I still got it. It flies through the air. Somebody has their mask below their nose and they cough. Some of that's coming out of their nose and going across the room.
So do you think the obvious first things all of us will think, probably because you were so close to your both parents who were in the same time sick, that probably was because of your parents.
Yes.
Got this. But I'm saying what is the petrifying, that you were trying to protect yourself. Like I say, you're very, very smart, very intelligent. We all know what to do, and they tell us what to do. You were doing all of that, and you still got it. Your daughter got too, yes?
Yeah. Yes.
Was she with you taking care of grandparents also, or you just said to your daughter you stay separate, or she was with you right away when you got it?
She was here with me. You know, she actually, my mom started to fall down once, and her first instinct, of course, is to catch her grandmother from falling. So Christine actually was in close contact with my mother when she caught her from falling to the ground. So she could have gotten it by, you know, saving her from breaking her hip. I mean, you know, but.
And one person who was at dinner table on Thanksgiving was your son.
And he
was negative. He didn't get COVID. So you are living, like say, in your apartment, like 2 miles away from your parents' house. So your son was separating yourself from all of you.
Yes.
And you were now. You knew that father is in hospital. You knew that after 2 or 3 days they put him on ventilator. Both of them.
I think it was more like maybe 7 days. I'd have to look at the calendar.
Of course. But
it was relatively quick that he was on a ventilator, yeah.
So doctor said that practically they see already damage everywhere in his lungs the most, or COVID attacked your father's lungs the most or something else?
The most. His lungs actually, from all the oxygen they were putting in, they developed holes in them in some sections. And they were, the oxygen was leaking out of his lungs and under his skin. So they had to go for a more direct method, which is getting the tube straight into the lung, the ventilator, in order to try and save him. But it eventually went to his kidneys started failing as well. And that was closer to the end of his life. And the last 4 days.
Betty was 85, mommy too. What about the underlying condition in their age? I'm sure they both had health problems.
My dad had high blood pressure that he took medication for, and it was controlled. And he also had a pacemaker because his heart would slow down. So that's the way they kept his heart at the right rhythm. And my mom was a liver and kidney transplant recipient 15 years ago. In fact, the young man who passed away and donated his liver and kidneys, he was 38 at the time that he passed. So my mom, 48, he would have been, his liver and kidneys were 53 years old when my mother passed away. Yeah. It sounds strange.
Yeah.
But she also had diabetes. She had AFib, which is heart issue, and she also had a pacemaker as well.
Oh, gosh.
But she survived all that stuff for all those years, and we figured she'd be home in 2 weeks, just knowing her
energy,
strength. And she didn't, no. They never came home.
I know that you couldn't see through all daddy and mommy staying in hospital. You didn't see them. You were talking only to nurses and doctors, yes?
Up until the last day.
When they told you that practically it's like no hope. That
right.
They knew that this is like, it's coming, death is coming. And they allowed you to come and visit you and your sister?
Yes.
In both of you. Yes. And so I can't even imagine this drive, you know, this drive to hospital knowing what is coming because you knew.
Yeah. When my sister and I got to the hospital, the staff there was wonderful. I couldn't have asked for better compassion and love from Los Robles Medical Center, ICU. team, they made us put two masks on. We had a robe, we had two pairs of gloves on and a face shield, and then we could go in and hold our father's hand first, which we did. And we were so scared, we were holding hands like little girls, you know, we were so nervous. And we went in, and my dad had the ventilator in still, and he was a little puffy, but he looked better than we thought. It wasn't as frightening to see him that way. And I had, the night before, I had made a recording on my iPhone, because when you have a mask on, nobody can really hear you very well. But I know my dad was sedated, so I gave him a message on my iPhone. I put it right next to his ear so that he could hear it, telling him how great he was, what a great dad he is, that we all loved him, and we couldn't have asked for a better father. And so I played Pavarotti for him. That's his favorite. And after my message, and my sister pointed halfway through the song and at his right eye, and there was a tear falling. And I think he heard it. I know he heard it. He always cried at home when he played that on the computer. He would listen to Pavarotti on the computer, and he'd always cry. And so we felt that we connected with him, even though we were covered in plastic and robes, but he was in bad shape. His skin was starting to leak fluids. Even when I put his arm up to my chest to hold his hand, it left a mark. And it's an ugly, horrible, horrible disease. It destroys you.
And and you needed to live through this hell second time because your mother also.
Then we went across the hall to say goodbye to my mother. So I played another message for her. I made her own message, made one for my dad and one for my mom. And then I played Amazing Grace, a beautiful rendition, because she was very religious. And I saw her mouth start to move around the ventilator a little bit, like she was trying to sing along almost. But she was unconscious. But she was moving her mouth. And then, we just told her what a great mom she was and held their, we could actually hold them, but I wanted to rip the face shield off and just throw myself down and hug them.
Yeah.
But, I didn't want to get kicked out of the hospital, so we were good.
And then you are looking around and you see the doctors, nurses, you see all these people. Like you said, you had the gloves, you had all mask, double mask, and it was petrifying because you were seeing your parents both declining and dying. And we have doctors every day, no vaccination, no nothing, yeah. Just the same gloves and little, masks and whatever they have, maybe a little bit better than whatever we are using. They cannot complain. They cannot be scared. They are scared, I'm sure, every day. They have family. They have children. Every day they fight like crazy, They have no options, That's because they are doctors and nurses and they want to help. Yeah. I'm watching TV, here because it's like so crazy to people say, don't watch, don't listen, just don't do this. Because always from moment when you wake up to moment when you go sleep, COVID, everything is COVID related, news and any program. So I really don't like to watch anything happy right now. Just I don't. It feels bad. We have few sitcoms that we are still smiling because they allowed us to feel like, oh, life once was normal. People were walking on the streets and they didn't have masks. People, the movies are showing that life was, it was like only a year ago, And it's like, who we become, because of this virus. And who knows how many viruses in front of us will be having. We lived almost from 1918, I think, the hardest one was 100 years ago. Now, who knows how our children, grandchildren, how they will be living life. We have the vaccination right now. Yes, a vaccine. So a possibility seems like hope is in the air. Hope is in the air. Everybody feels the change is in the air. And England is doing well when it comes to giving people vaccinations. Almost 9 million of people got in the last 3 weeks. That's a lot. With everything going on in the UK, everybody said everything was 2 weeks too late. Everything was 2 weeks too late. Everybody was complaining, if we would only do 2 weeks earlier, these people will not die, that people will not die, this store's closed. But like always, it's not government fault in a way. This sickness came on to us, on all of us, all around the world, And the people like looking at like government supposed to this, supposed to we supposed to. We don't know who's supposed to, how supposed to. So we are learning how our life goes, day by day. But the vaccine is something that is just amazing what's happened. So like older people, the 80s, and now they are going through people in age of 70s right now, vaccinate. I am not sure how in Los Angeles the vaccination is going. So
it seems to be a difficult process right now from what I'm hearing. They're trying, but for some reason, they can't. I'm not sure even how their supply is. I think their supply might be a little short as well. So while they're trying to get everybody who needs it the most, I think a lot of people are struggling because they can't even figure out the online appointment.
So that's the same like in UK, older people first are getting is above 80 above. So your parents, if they would be with us 2 months, 2 months, they probably will be the first in line
Right.
Protected, you know. So that's what is the most horrible situation, being so close.
Yes.
And not
yes.
for that. So we have right now the story of the wonderful gentleman who was raising money for NHS, for hospitals, an older gentleman, 100 years old, who wanted only to raise £1,000. And he was walking with his walker around outside garden. And just, you know, people start giving him money, and a few months into it, 30 million of pounds was raised.
Wow.
This gentleman, wonderful, he was in army, and he's like a hero right now when it comes to England. And today they just announced he got COVID, you know.
Yeah.
He got COVID, he's in a hospital, but he got the first dose of vaccinations.
Exactly.
But he had pneumonia before all of this happened. So, you know, they didn't tell where he got the COVID, but seems like in probably mm-hmm. hospital, because they took him with pneumonia, and then they said today that he has COVID. But like I say, the hope is he got the first, but he's 100 years old. So, you know,
right.
It's so horrible, because the symbol of hope, this old gentleman who just was walking, making miles, you know, and then whole UK just was giving money, and they loved him so much. Now he is fighting COVID. So it's horrible. So I'm saying, it's like you try to live life, you know, try to make some food or something, feel, order something. Ah, life is okay. Then you see it, you turn on TV. No, it's not. You look outside the window, nobody's walking. I know that in Los Angeles, they are opening up. Town, London is closed. We don't have restaurants, schools, everything's closed, gyms, everything's closed. So it's like almost no people walking. But from time to time, they're showing us pictures of people in the parks, and it's like thousands of them, it's not hundreds, without masks. Just people
right.
in London sometimes are funny. They really didn't appreciate you wearing masks. You see them more, but still you see not a lot of people having them. And it's like hundreds and thousands of people. It's packed, you know, I'm in air, you know, I'm just crazy, because on the street, no. Parks, packed, you know. So we'll see what's happened. Now, today they told us that maybe till May we'll be locked. Till May. Even when they mentioned February, then March.
Right, now May.
We'll be open, you know, in April. No. But we hear that LA is a little bit better, yes? What makes this better, that LA is allowed right now to have even restaurants open? Yes?
People can. Yes, outdoor dining only.
Outdoor.
I think they base it on the availability of ICU rooms. If the availability of an ICU room, if their percentage is higher, then they open more. Just in case.
That's an unusual way of thinking.
Yes.
So we have, okay, when people want to eat in a restaurant, yes. They want to get sick.
At least you'll have a place to go.
You have a place to go. No? So like I say, nobody knows it. Nobody knows what to look for, what is right, what is wrong, you know. And the same situation with schools. They say that teachers are supposed to get shots first.
Yes.
And then other people say, why teachers? You have older people who are dying, above 60 the most, so...
I mean, both of my adult children are essential workers at grocery stores. They've been working every day except for a month that Christine had COVID, which she got from us, not at work. But both those adult children are in the public every day since the beginning. We're almost at a year now. And so...
So how the stores, because they're working in big stores, people who are outside of America, they need to understand the places that they work. They are big grocery stores. So like you say, they see thousands of people a day. So, and what do they have outside of blue mask?
Well, the mask, and they have put, well, for example, my son is a checker, cashier. He checks groceries. So he touches everybody's groceries. And everybody who's touched those groceries, he touches. But to block the transmission air, going from air. They have plastic. He's in a plastic box.
Okay.
At the register. So it bounces off. But they're like locked in a little plastic box to do their job.
Did they have people sick in a store, grocery store? Are they friends who work there? Did they have
coworkers? People? Yeah, at both stores that both kids work in, they've had many coworkers get ill or be exposed. Yes.
So how they were dealing with people around? Did they close half of the store? And
yes,
they did.
In the beginning, yes, they would close the store down and sanitize.
Okay.
But they've become more relaxed because I think a lot of people aren't getting it in the store. But the employees are getting it outside of the store. They're getting it from gatherings at home or going out to a certain place and doing something like that where they're interacting with closely with people.
Yeah, so family gatherings and young people. How is Los Angeles, LA? Like I say, London is raining and cold. Most of Europe has very bad weather, so people maybe don't complain staying home more often. But in LA, you have amazing weather. You want to go out. You want to just celebrate, first and foremost, weather and friendships. And young people are not in schools. I cannot even imagine how you can lock everybody and say staying home. You know, and not everybody has in LA beautiful house with great gardens. And yeah, I know you can go out. You have everybody has a car. That's another good things in Europe. A lot of people have cars, but also the transport requires thousands of people a day to be stuck in the tubes. You know,
yeah.
So before it was entertaining. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so cool to not have a car. It's so cool. It's so easy to just jump and be 5 minutes in every direction, and you are leaving. And it's like, yay, no car, no gasoline, no parking, no nothing. Yay. But now, you know, obvious, that's like horrible. People are who work, who need to go to work, they are stuck in a tube. You cannot make 2 meters apart, people. People are stuck, you know, in the beginning, especially in the middle of the day. Yes, you have almost empty tubes, but on the time that people need to get to the job, they still didn't figure out how to make people work in different hours. So the tubes are really, for everybody half empty, but no. So you see these pictures and what can you do?
It's a huge, huge undertaking to try and get it all coordinated to the part where everybody's safe. It's almost impossible.
Almost, I really think. So, you know, like they say today, 85% people need to be having vaccination minimum to think that the virus can be stopped from spreading. 85%. So we are far, far away. And we are not talking London, and we are not talking UK. We are talking world, because it doesn't matter. You got a family coming?
Yeah. Huh?
You have your
family? Yes,
daughter.
I have my dog here. I'm doing it.
Oh, hi. That's wonderful.
His name is Chubby. And it's my nephew's girlfriend. I'm sorry, Lana.
No, this is a family. This is a show, and we all have. I'm surprised that my dog is not walking.
I know. Where's my Porsche?
She's lying and sleeping, and she got her hair. She looks beautiful, beautiful. I prefer her with long hair, but you know.
I know.
So she looks good. And so, you know, like you say, LA, so it's much easier to go out, want to do that. Here, people are stuck on a tube. So we'll see. Like they say that 6 months, maybe UK will be all getting shots. But what about rest of the world? You know, we still are talking travels. We are still talking. Where is the life? They promised us today for the first time that summer will be almost normal. Hard to believe. And already people are critiquing on TV. How can you even, politicians can say something. So make people believe that things are going better. Which they don't, you know. But
everyone has to proceed with caution. You don't want to have happen to your family what happened to mine. It's not gone. So to me, I'd rather be safe than sorry. My family is destroyed right now. We lost the matriarch and the patriarch of our family. And now the first thing my brother said, he's 49 years old, when I had to tell them that my mom died, she died after my dad, was like, we're orphans. We're adults, but we're orphans. Our parents are gone. It's devastating. So you have to be safe still. I really can't say enough. It's hard to follow rules and try and keep yourself safe, but it's so important. You'll be grateful down the line if you are able to just tough it out for now and not expose yourself if you can while we're waiting for the virus to kick, the vaccination to kick in, then just do it. It's worth it. I literally, Ilana, on Friday, I had to empty out the laundry basket from my father. His dirty clothes have been in there for almost a month. And it was devastating. It sounds silly. Those are the last clothes my dad wore at home. And I never saw him again. And it was, please, don't put yourself in that position if you can avoid it. Don't put your family there, because the pain is, I can't even describe it.
It's not even 1 month.
Right.
It's 3 weeks that you lost, yes, your parents.
And like you said,
they were 2 months ago, healthy, yeah. Happy, got tiny gatherings, tiny allowed, not like it was a big group of people. That's how government allowed us. And there was the closest people, they were hiding. They were also hiding from COVID, you know, not the older gentlemen and mom, they were not going out. Even when it's California, I'm sure they were mostly in home. So somehow, somewhere, I know this is, we can call this bad luck. Everybody can have this bad luck, but somebody gave it to them.
Right.
Somewhere, somehow.
It got in the house. Yes.
They got through too.
And we don't hold blame and we're not pointing fingers, but I didn't know how bad it was until it happened.
And sometimes when we're sitting home, and I'm saying the same me, you know, you're sitting home, you do your little things and you listen to TV, 2,000 people, 1,200 people died. It's like every day you hear it. And after a while, it's like, you don't even...
It bounces right off.
Yeah, and then in moment, you see it and say, why not me? You know, why them? Like, why?
Right.
You know, so you then say, oh my gosh, what can I do? So, oh no, I'm not going once a week for the store, no more, but with dog, right. Running from people, left, right. It's scary because you see people, you can't even smile because of the mask. We know it, but you are running from another human being to not trying to cross the path, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people crossing the path, they still go about the life like almost okay, nothing happened. But I'm trying hiding, but I know your parents were hiding too, so that's what's most petrifying, you know. So outside of praying, if you believe, you know, if you have the inner strength in you and believe in a stronger power about you, so you know, maybe that helps you. But it's a lot of luck, but mostly is really, again, do what we need to do.
Yes.
No, don't think about yourself. Just think about person that is next to you, even when you don't know them.
Yeah, because you're showing other human beings that you care about them.
But now, you know, you lost two parents. And I know you went back to your work into court, and you are now going in person, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not anymore from home. So... probably most people didn't even know what was going in your life. You're not like you were telling to everybody. So you went to work. You told some people what's happened.
Yeah, some people knew, but a lot of people didn't. I was surprised. They weren't gossiping, you know? And so I had to repeat the story over and over and over. And it was really hard the first week, you know? And they were all loving and compassionate. I worked with wonderful people. But they were shocked. I was gone for a month.
Did you have similar situation? Did you meet somebody that had very similar story? Or in Oak Park, in this beautiful little town that you are living, your parents were living, are they two people that happened to them, or is a lot of people also who died?
My next door neighbors, my parents' next door neighbors got it, a married couple, middle age.
Later or earlier?
They got it after my parents passed away.
And are they okay? Or they?
They're fine now. Yes, they're fine, but they're a little younger. A girl at work passed away. A clerk who worked at the traffic window, 32 years old. She got COVID and she passed away within a week.
So we are here little, not only like I say, talking about your parents and wanting people to know what's happened, because people were watching months ago, our show, a lot of people were watching, and I know people wanted to know what's happened. So now they know this is a really very, very sad story, very sad ending. But we are here to scare people even more. We need you. I think that's our mission, I think, for the show. So don't think it will not happen to you. Don't think that one more day, so probably tomorrow will be the same way. Think like this can happen every second to you. So if you do your thing the best like you can, you at least you will not blame yourself because you knew, okay, bad luck. But I was not stupid. I didn't do stupid things that I knew I'm not supposed to. And that's what the responsibility person who want to believe that we are part of the human race, not I'm for myself. Yeah. That's all what we need to do right now. And if all will somehow pass and we'll come back to almost normal life, we will be better people, better human.
Yeah.
We will. Because not our children,
It'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we will remember so much this time.
I agree.
So
all people have to do is just try their best. Just try. Try your best and soon it will be passed.
And think about doctors.
And maybe you'll be a
think about hospitals, think about doctors, because this doctors, they cannot run. They just cannot. I'm sure they want to. They're humans, so they're scared of the same like we are afraid. But they stay and they do their job.
Yep.
Trying to save us, you know,
and
every day, every minute, they could die too. And a lot of people are also dying here in medical field here, less and less, I would say it. But in the beginning, wow, that was like really normal. So I love you, Teresa. I know you have a beautiful family. I know you have brother and sister. I know that you have nieces and I know that you have your children. So life will go on because that's how life goes, you know. And yes, you will put a house of your parents together the best like you can. And I know you eventually you'll be celebrating when the funeral time will come, because I understand you cannot bury your parents because it's just impossible right now. There's so many people dead. So you need to wait, and this will happen a few months from now.
I think June or August.
Sorry.
Yes, of 2021. But it'll get done, and maybe it'll be better than what it would have been originally, you know, as far as celebrating them.
Yeah, celebrating. So today, again, Teresa Pirozzi, you are my dearest, dearest friends and my daughter's friends. I know people, neighbors love you. Again, my dog loves you. You have to mama to my doggy. And I never met your parents. I saw pictures, and of course, I knew every time when you were going to visit your parents and we were talking as a neighbor, oh, you're going to mama, I'm going to mama. I always said how lucky you are to have them 3 minutes away.
Yes,
you with your car. And I know how much you love to gather whole family with them. And whoever wants to see them, you know, through your page, because your page is public, so people can still maybe see them and see the progression of the sickness and how all of this developed in only two months ago. And I know that the press was very interested to talk to you, that, you know, you really could give the message across how important it is to just being careful, because nobody could predict what's happened to you and this could happen to all of us.
Yes.
So for right now, I don't see any optimistic ending to the show. It's a very beautiful love story of your parents that took their life and their happiness away way too soon, because they were healthy and happy, 85 years old people who loved the place that they lived, and they had everything under control. You know, they under cover, you know, they had the problems, health problems, but they were living life pretty nicely and peacefully. They had beautiful family. Yes. So, you know, life was beautiful. So we just send love to you and your family, and we are thinking about your parents.
Thank you.
And about their love, because that's what is the most important. Both of them died in the same day after 57 years of marriage.
57 years of marriage. They were 3 hours and 42 minutes apart in their death.
And hopefully your daddy is listening to Pavarotti and your mama is listening to Amazing Grace.
Yes.
And they are listening to us and watching over your family and saying, you were amazing daughter, and you are amazing daughter. And that's what only counts, you know. And I love you, Teresa. And we love you all. Sending love from London to you and from Accent on London Edition on LA Talk Radio. We love to have you always. And hopefully another show we'll be talking about something completely different and happy, okay?
Sounds good.
I love you. Stay strong, okay?
I will. I love you. Thank you.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.